So as CFI River concerned about the provisions contained in the health care reform bill, and we conducted a study to measure the impact the bill would have on our state and communities. We found that provisions in the bill would jeopardize access to care for low and middle-income Coloradans across the state, but especially those living in rural communities, while giving significant tax cuts to wealthy households in urban areas. And we're talking places like Broomfield, Boulder, Pitkin County. So we're talking tax cuts to folks who live in Boulder and Aspen, while folks in places like Sedgwick and Powers and Alamosa and Tosia would see significant cuts to their access to care, as well as increases in premiums.
So let's break that down a little bit. Why that rural-urban divide? Is that because it's along economic lines as well, and people who are more low-income are going to be most impacted? But what is that rural-urban divide that you're really looking at?
So it's two parts, really. So the rural-urban divide plays out in a number of different ways. One, it is that most folks who are upper income tend to live in more urban areas, while folks who depend on Medicaid and who are more middle and low income live in these more rural counties. So when we're talking about counties like Costilla County or Alamosa, more than half of the population actually depends on Medicaid. And many of the provisions in both the House and the Senate bill made significant cuts to the way that states were able to fund Medicaid. And so when we make cuts to Medicaid, these are the counties that have been impacted the most, whereas counties like Douglas County and Broomfield, where something around 8 and 10% of the population depends on Medicaid, they're less likely to be impacted by these cuts.
You have a graph, actually, that's available on your website that we will link to at kgnu.org that puts some of this into statistics. For example, Douglas County, considered an urban county, has 8% of its population that receives Medicaid, and contrast that with Costilla County, which is very much a rural county, that has 54% of its population that receives Medicaid. And you could go through all the rural counties in the state and all the urban counties in the state, and you get that major disparity of Medicaid enrollments.
Absolutely. And one of the other pieces as well is that both versions of the bill also contained a rollback of what we call the expansion Medicaid. So Colorado was one of the first states to actually expand our Medicaid. And because we expanded Medicaid to include folks who were working and didn't have children, we were actually able to increase the number of individuals who were covered by health care in our state. And so in between 2013 and 2015, we saw our uninsured rate almost decreased by half. And part of that was because we expanded Medicaid and we really did make it available to more folks. And if the state has to roll back expansion to Medicaid, that's going to mean even more rural counties losing even more coverage.
Aside from Medicaid and some of the other aspects that we're talking about here, you also took a look at income-related premium tax credits, and that could be replaced with an age and income-based structure. What is that, and who would benefit and who would lose out on that?
Absolutely. One caveat I would give to that is that they've changed that a little bit in the Senate bill. So this version of the paper was written under the House bill, the version that came out of the House. And so the Senate bill actually goes back to the original ACA premiums under Obamacare, under the ACA, and goes back to it being income-based, but it's still not as generous as what was provided under the ACA, which means that, you know, these subsidies were provided under the ACA to really make healthcare more affordable for folks who are in the middle. So Medicaid helps folks who are low income, whereas subsidies help folks who are more middle income, and as well as sort of fall in that in-between space, able to afford health insurance. And so when we get rid of the subsidies or we make them less generous, less folks are able to actually access healthcare because they're actually not able to afford it anymore. So that's one of the dangers with the ACA or losing the ACA subsidies, is that when we lose these subsidies and we lose the generosity of these subsidies, we actually, folks lose the ability to afford healthcare. And so that's one of the dangers that we see there, is that folks who are higher income are going to be able to continue to afford healthcare. And in addition, under the provisions of the bill, are going to receive tax cuts, whereas folks who are middle and low income are going to lose not only access to Medicaid, but also access to really generous subsidies that make it possible for them to afford healthcare.
Aside from health insurance and what that means if people lose that, you also take a look in your study about the overall impact on the state's economy. And you project that over 16,000 jobs could be lost statewide by 2020 with the introduction of the AHCA, the Republican Healthcare Bill. What are those jobs and why would they be lost?
So there's a number of reasons why these jobs would be lost. Like we said, our economy really depends on these federal dollars that are streaming in to provide healthcare. And so if we cut those dollars that are coming into the state, we're going to lose a lot of healthcare jobs. So that means we're going to lose jobs in physicians' offices, in hospitals, in nursing homes. And those individuals are then not going to be able to spend as much money in their economy. So we measured both the direct impact of the loss of these dollars, which would result in a loss in jobs, especially in the medical industry, as well as the induced impact, which would be the jobs that would be lost as a result of reduced economic activity. So what we mean by that is if a nurse loses their job or if a doctor loses their job, they are going to be spending less in their local economy, which could result in loss in jobs in retail and service industries as well.
Just as we finish up, we've seen massive backlash against this proposed bill. In fact, several Republican senators say that they won't vote in favour of it for a variety of reasons. But healthcare advocates coming out, healthcare professionals, doctors, professional organisations, nurses organisations, patient advocate organisations coming out against this. What can people do who are concerned about this?
People can definitely reach out to their legislators and let them know. Folks who are in D.C. right now who represent Coloradans really do have the ability to determine how this bill pans out and where it goes. And so there's, I think, still some room for advocacy, especially for folks to make calls and to write to the legislators and let them know, and the representatives in D.C. to let them know that this is not going to be okay, because not only is this bill going to have economic impacts for our state, but Colorado is also going to see a lot of impacts in terms of our own state budget. So our state budget is, you know, sort of a very tight state budget. And if we really cut funding to Medicaid and cut funding to health services, we're going to be putting our state budget against and putting the health of our most vulnerable citizens against the needs of our school children, college students, and our motorists. And so we really need to make it clear that as a state, we can't afford to lose access to care. In addition, we can't afford to lose these dollars or really make it possible for the state to provide other needs that we need in the state. So I think that's one place for folks to start, is to really call their representatives and let them know that this isn't going to be okay and this is going to put our state in a really precarious situation.